Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas.
Good afternoon to all those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8. Today, Friday, January 31st of this year, 2025. Our subject is, We Are Being Rushed from Heaven. It was preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Friday, December 3rd of 2004 in Bogotá, Colombia. And let's read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 and on, where it tells us, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And he writes on top there the creative word, the king's scepter. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and on the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And there he writes Revelation 10:8-11. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And he writes there Revelation 8 from 3-5, and also Revelation 15 from 3 and on. And in the verse 8, there he draws a star of David to the right. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There he writes Revelation 12:11. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We are being rushed from heaven. You may please be seated. In the message, Jesus weeps on the fourth day before Lazarus' tomb, which was preached on March 2nd of 2007 in Veracruz, Mexico. It tells us, We find that the coming of the Lord is for the age of the cornerstone, for the fourth day, for the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and the transformation of us who are alive. In a message, he told us that at that time, in that moment, he said, we are living in the last hour of the third watch. All of that corresponds. At that time corresponded to the dispensation of grace, because the last watch, which is the fourth watch, corresponds to the age of the cornerstone. When John the Apostle was caught up to heaven in the book of Revelation in chapter 4, and he stood before the throne of God, and in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne, he saw a little book sealed with seven seals, and he saw an angel, it says in Revelation 5:1-4, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. In the book of the seals, on page 69 from the book in English, there our brother Branham reads to us this scripture that we read from chapter 5. And notice there, where he is reading, The portion of that scripture where it says, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." There on the right he writes, "Root and offspring of David." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And he writes thereunder, before the next paragraph begins, Revelation 10 from 1 to 11 equals Revelation 11 from 3 to 7, and 11 from 15 to 19. The coming of the mighty angel is the coming of the Son of Man. Notice, it is the same as Revelation 11, who is already seen prophesying there, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, because what the seventh seal is to the church, the coming of the Lord is the seventh trumpet to Israel, Moses and Elijah. For the Son of Man comes with his angels. He goes on to say, this seven-seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Now, if you're marking it down, let's turn to Revelation 10 just a moment so you'll get an understanding before we get into it. Now, this is in the time of the end, for listen, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head." If you notice, that's Christ. See? Who is it? The Lord, Christ. Because he, in the Old Testament, was called the Angel of the Covenant, and he's directly coming to the Jews now, for the church is finished. See? All right. "And his face, as it were the sun, and his feet as pillar of fire." You remember the angel of Revelation 1? Same thing. Angel is a messenger, and he is a messenger to Israel. See? The church has been raptured. See? Now, or fixing to be raptured. He comes for his church, and our brother William continues to tell us here when he reads that portion of Revelation chapter 5. He says, remember that that is the book of redemption, the title deed of heavens and of the earth, the Lamb's book of life. The names of all the elect of God are written there. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." And John says, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." In the unedited Book of the Ages, here in the booklet, it's page 28. In the unedited Book of the Ages, it would be page 664. It says, I will read from the booklet here, it says, just so then he said, a elder come forth, or a strong angel said, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, amen, the Root of David, and he draws a star of David to the left side, and he writes upwards, the Root of David. He has prevailed, amen, conquered. In other words, he is worthy to take the book, amen. Remember, he hadn't seen him up to this time. Why? He was seated on a throne there, God's throne. He was on the inside of the sanctuary. And there above, on the inside, above that, he writes, most holy place. And he writes on the left upwards, most holy place, seventh dimension. He hadn't seen him to this time. So John was expecting to see a lion come forth, but he saw a lamb. There you are, brothers. Through meekness, through sweetness, through the Holy Spirit that we conquer. We conquer through what? Through sweetness, through the Holy Spirit. Not some great, mighty, intellectual giant, but he that can humble himself is the man who conquers. And he writes there, on top of that paragraph 145, the conqueror, dash, the lion, a colon, a man, the conqueror, the lion, a man. Notice, not as a great and mighty and intellectual giant, in other words, a man with a lot of human intelligence, but rather, the man who can humble himself is the man who conquers. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The man who can be kicked around and still be a servant of Christ. That's the conqueror. Now, he said, he has prevailed. He is worthy to take the book and to open it and to loose the seals thereof. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages to the right. And our brother William goes on to say here, and John wept here too, because it is the time when the book must be taken by a person in heaven and opened so that the claiming is carried out, the resurrection of the dead in Christ and the transformation of those who are alive. In this same message that we are reading of Revelation chapter 5, part 1, on page 31, which in the unedited book of the ages is page 667 from the book in Spanish, from the paragraph 157, it tells us. And right here ties the whole thing together. Yes, sir. Had to be worthy. So Jesus is worthy at his return. And he writes with Moses and Elijah. There on top, in his return, we will fully enjoy all the fullness of redemption blessings. And he writes, the reward, transformation. Remember that he, in the book of the seals, notice on page 405 from the book in English, there he tells us, from the book of the seals, and just about the time the Antichrist moves himself fully on the scene, God moves himself fully on to redeem it all. And he writes there, transformed. Adopt us, he writes there. He goes on to say here in the book of the ages, here from the booklet, which is on page 31, meek shall inherit the earth, man and woman shall be back sons and daughters of God, and the complete millennium swing will begin. What a beautiful thing. And he writes there, the millennial swing. And he writes on the left side upwards, a kinsman redeemer. Our brother William continues to say, in the claiming work, notice, Christ will resurrect the dead believers in him and the living believers in him who have been born again. He will transform them. Therefore, that ends up being the time of the age of the cornerstone. Notice when that time of the age of the cornerstone takes place, when that claiming work is carried out. In the message, Revelation chapter 5, but in part 2, which in the booklet is page 42, and in the unedited book of the ages, it's on page 705 from the book in English, it tells us at the bottom, going to 706, it tells us, the seven and the last one of these seals, when they are opened, it is found on Revelation the 10th chapter, there was a mighty angel, which was Christ, came down and put one foot on the land and one on the sea. And he raised up his hand and says, the day is finished. And he writes, on the day he writes, second dispensation. The day is finished. Time is run out. It's all over. Time shall be no more. And there on top of that sentence, he writes the seven ages, the time of the Gentiles. That is, the time of the dispensation of grace is over, which already happened. And on the right, he writes Revelation 10. And he said, at the sounding of the, at this time, the mystery of God should be finished. Who God is and how he was made manifest, how when that seal was opened, how we begin to understand now that he was the Son of God. He was God himself made flesh, and the revelation of who he is, that should be finished before this angel can put his feet upon the land and see and swear that there will be no more time. There on the right, he writes again, Revelation 10 from 1 to 11. When this time comes, he writes, most holy place, and on the left, he draws a star of David. When this time comes, most holy place, we are right in the front yard, and he writes, holy place. We are in the front yard of it right now, see? And to the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the seventh age. And there he says that, where he says that we are right in the front yard of it, that's the holy place. And to the left, notice, going upwards, he writes in two sentences upwards, time will be no more. He comes as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Time will be no more. He comes as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He continues to say, the last one of them is Revelation 10, foot on land and on sea. Time had run out, redemption is over, and now he comes in as a lion. He was a lamb then. Now he comes as a lion of the tribe of Judah. In the message, honoring the place where God chooses to put his name, which was preached on November 4 of 1999 in Lo Prado, Chile, he says, here we have seen what the Lord's white hair is. And then we saw that the angel who was different from the rest is the one who forms that white hair, that white wig. All of that is for the Lord's day, to which John was transported. On page 90 from the Book of the Seals in English, Reverend William Branham tells us, this is when preaching the message, the breach, he tells us, the Bible said that John wept because, notice, he saw that the time had come to take that book. Now, look, it says, not as some people has taught it. I was hearing a man teach this one time, said, John wept because he found himself not worthy, and to the left he writes, John wept. Oh, any man under the Holy Spirit would know different from that. See? Under the inspiration of God would know different from that. But John wept. Here's what I think he wept for. Because if no one was worthy and could open this book of redemption, the whole creation was lost. There he draws a star of David on the right, and he writes there to the left, everything lost. That's God's own law, and he can't defile his law. Can't defy his law, rather. And he draws another star of David to the left. God required a kinsman redeemer who was worthy, who was able to do it, who had the substance to do it, and the angel said, now let that kinsman redeemer step forward. On the right he writes, creation was lost. And John looked, and he looked all over the earth, he looked beneath the earth, and there was nobody. There, creation and everything was lost. Of course, John wept. Everything was lost. His crying didn't last but just a minute, though. Then there stood one of the elders, said, don't weep, John. And there to the left he writes, John wept. And further down he writes, or he draws below a pyramid and the ages, and he draws a star of David. Oh my, his crying didn't last but just a minute. John thought, oh my, where is the man? There stands the prophets. They was born like I was. There stands the sages. There stands, oh, ain't there nobody here? Ain't there nobody here? I want a man that's able to do it. I want a man that can redeem. And he wasn't found. So John broke out, oh, everything was lost. And he wept bitterly. And there to the left he writes, lost, and he draws a Star of David. And he was so sad because everything, the whole creation, everything was lost if they couldn't find somebody. And he draws, and he writes, John wept, and he draws another Star of David. Glory to God if they couldn't find somebody that can meet that requirements there. Every human being and the whole world and creation was gone. Oh, everything had fallen. The rights of redemption, the rights of eternal life, the light, all these rights had been forfeited. And there was nobody who could pay the price. And John started crying because no one was worthy and no one could even look at the book. Oh, it took a human being. John wept because no one could do it and everything was lost. And there to the left he writes, John wept. And there came a voice from one of the elders. There on the right, in between, he draws a Star of David. Standing in the midst of the four beasts and all the great host of heaven said, don't weep, John. Oh my, grace of God. Don't be brokenhearted, John. Don't weep. And there to the left, he writes, John wept. Below that, he writes, one of the 24 elders. John, don't weep. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and offspring of David, he has prevailed. Prevail means wrestle with and overcome. Oh my, the Garden of Gethsemane. When blood dropped down out of his face, he was overcoming, see? The Lion and the root of David has prevailed, has overcome. And on the right he writes, Lion. Now, notice, prevail means someone who has wrestled with and overcome the enemy. Notice, on the page 134 from this book of the seals in English, he says, we all know as Christians that God swore to David that he would rise up Christ to sit on his throne and give him an eternal kingdom here on earth. He did. And Jesus said, he that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world shall sit with me on my throne as I have overcome and have sit down on my Father's throne. See? Now someday, there he writes future, and on top he also writes throne of David. He rises from the throne of the Father and goes to take his own throne. Now he comes forth to call his subjects. How is he going to claim them? He has already got the book of redemption in his hand. On the right he writes, future. Now, notice how he is going to claim them. Well, he already has the title in his hand. Therefore, he can carry out that claiming work. Now, he goes on to say on page 91 from the book of the seals in English, like Jacob being supplanter. And when he got in contact with the angel and he writes to the right, the angel and Jacob, he held on. And the angel tried to pull away. He said, I am not going to let you go. He held on until he got what he wanted for. And his name was changed from supplanter, which means deceiver, to what? To a prince with God, Israel. He prevailed. And this Lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed. He said, don't weep, John. And to the right he writes, John wept. And to the left he writes, Lion. Don't weep, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed. He has already overcome. He has done it. John, it's over. Oh my, and to the left he draws a cornerstone in the ages. He produced the bleach that sends sin along back to the greasy hands that with the wisdom that defiled it, the human being, yes? And he writes, remitted, to the right. But when John turned to look, he saw a lamb. On the right he writes, lamb. What a different from a lion. He said, "The lion has prevailed." See? Again, I can use that there, God hiding in simplicity. And on the right, he writes, lion equals king and judge. He said, there's a lion. That's the king of the beast. The lion has prevailed. The strongest thing there is a lion. I've laid out the jungles in Africa, and here the giraffes squeal, and the great mighty elephant with his trunk in the air, and here the savages of the desert screaming out of their body, curl cries, and the beetles till, and Billy Paul and I laying in a little old place covered over with stickers, and hear a way off in the distance a lion roar, and everything on the desert shuts up. Even the beetles stop hollering. The king speaks. Oh my. He underlines it and circles it, and to the right he writes, lion, dash, king, and judge. I tell you, that's when the denomination and doubts fall to the ground. Everything gets quiet when the king speaks. And this is the king. That's his word. Oh. And he writes there, the sword. And towards the top he writes, the lion, dash, king. Silence for half an hour. And to the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages. He said, John, don't worry, don't cry, don't be broken up, John. And he writes there, John wept. To the right again, I have you here in this vision. I am showing you something. I know that you're tore up because you know there's nothing to be redeemed. Everything is gone. There is nobody could meet their requirements but the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, in this message where we stopped, honoring the place where God chooses to put his name, it says, the coming of the Lord is as a judge. But before Christ leaves the throne of intercession in heaven, while he is in heaven, in the throne of intercession, making intercession, that is because the very last elect of God has not come in yet. But when the very last one comes in, he will finish his work as high priest in heaven, and he will take the title deed and make his claim, and he will become the lion of the tribe of Judah and become the judge of all the earth. Now, we will see that change manifested later in the last day. See that the church bride has experienced and seen that change. Look, in the unedited Book of the Ages, from Revelation chapter 5, part 2, on page 19 from the booklet in Spanish, which in the book is it's the paragraph 89. It's on page 686 of this portion of the ages, unedited in Spanish. It says, here in the booklet, which is page 686, it says, a lamb. Why didn't he see the lamb before? The lamb had been seated on the Father's throne inside the guards. John could not see into there. He only seen those four-headed, or those four beasts standing there, or those four cherubims standing there guarding the holy place. And we got it last Sunday, and over in the other lessons, that he seen that, but he could not see what was beyond that. And in there, all at once, there appeared, just mysteriously, suddenly, there was one, a lamb. Now, to show it was not a natural beast, lamb, because it took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The lamb could not do that, see? He was a lamb, was Christ. In other words, in his attributes, he was meek and gentle like a lamb. And there he draws a Star of David to the left, and he writes, lamb equals meek and gentle, his attributes. Notice what we read there a few minutes ago. Now, notice, it was a lamb redeemer. A lamb redeemer just like the first. God never can change. Amen. The first redeemer was a lamb in the Garden of Eden. It was a lamb that God offered. And there it is again. Plumb over in Revelation, it's again a lamb. To redeem what? The fallen condition and the fallen inheritance of a fallen race of people. A lamb comes back to redeem. And there on the left he draws a Star of David. A lamb comes back to redeem. Like ours was at the beginning to redeem us. To redeem what? What he's going to redeem us about? To bring it to anything that's redeemed is something that's been lost. Is something that's been lost and then it's been brought back again. What does he brings back to us? This lamb? Everything we had at the beginning. What did we have at the beginning? Eternal life. And he writes, return to what Adam lost. We was heirs of the world. We had life. We never had to die. We never had to be sick. We never had to get old. We never had any worries. Where's no funerals, no graves, no evil, no death, no gray hairs, no stooped shoulders, no mourning, no crying. We had life eternal. We had the jurisdiction over all the earth. We was just a God, that's all, on the earth, walked about. And if this tree didn't look right standing here, we'd say, be thou plucked up and set up over there. And it would do it. And he writes there, ye are gods. The winds was blowing. We didn't want the winds to blow. Peace, be still. And it did. And what did he come to? To redeem all of that back to us. Oh my. Get all of that back again. What awaits us is something great. And now, nature in itself is groaning, waiting for the what? The manifestation of the sons of God, for the sons of God to be manifested. And he writes there, the adoption on the right. Our brother William continues to say, through the messengers of each age, Christ has manifested himself in mercy. Through the seventh angel messenger, the Son of Man, Christ, manifested himself in mercy. And at this end time, through his angel messenger, he will be manifesting himself in mercy until the very last of the elect comes in. Now, look in the message, The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, on page 38 to 39, Reverend William Branham tells us, so now, you think they could take it today? You think I'm trying to support ignorance? I'm not. I'm telling you, there's a difference between this intellectual age that we're living in, where the church has been impregnated with science and all this so-called figured out and everything. And he writes on top, figured out. And all this so-called figured out and everything. You don't figure out God. Well, them priests had God figured out so perfect. They knowed how the Messiah was going to come. But he comes so different from what they had figured out. It wasn't scientific. How could this man, being an illegitimate child, where did he go to school at? Where did his education come from? Where did he get this learning? Why, you try to teach us? You're born in fornications, see? Oh, for goodness sake. See, the same thing repeat again? See it repeat again? All in their religious science, according to what their Bible school said. That's the way they want it. That's the way it has to be, or it isn't. God just fools them every time. It always comes different. It did in the Noah's time, did in Moses' time, did it in Christ's time, did it in John's time, did in disciples' time, did in Wesley's time, did in Luther's time, did in Pentecostal time, and so has it again. It don't change its pattern. Always comes the same way. Only reformers through them six ages till the seventh. And Revelation 10 said, in this hour it'll change, and it did. And he writes, Revelation 10, the change. And he writes to the left upwards, Revelation 10, the change. He said that the dispensation of grace would end, that the time of the dispensation of grace would end, that time would be no more, and he did it. God fulfilled his word. And at this end time, that change has been made, time is no more. And our brother William goes on to say here, and then he will manifest himself as judge in the judgment. And that is why, at the last day, the preaching of the day of vengeance of our God will come by Christ through his angel messenger. On page 97, from the Book of the Seals in English, it tells us, now, watch. Then it is he, the Lamb, that takes his kingly position when his saints come to crown him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. See? See? Time has run out, Revelation 10:6. There is no more time. When do they crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When we reach the end time, the end of the dispensation of grace. And that angel says, through that instrument, time is no more. That is what happens when that Holy Spirit, notice, came incarnate. When it comes incarnate, of which he had said on page 154, and notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we will crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in what we just read, notice when that took place, when he leaves the throne of intercession, and in Revelation chapter 10, he gives that book that titled it to that man, and the church bride recognizes him. Upon recognizing him, they recognize him and crowns him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That takes place when time ends, and the time for the dispensation of grace for the kingdom of the Gentiles had already ended. Now we are in the stage of the age of the cornerstone and the dispensation of the kingdom, where he has given us that translation faith, that rapturing faith. We are being rushed from heaven. Let's stand up and leave under this subject, and in this subject we are being rushed from heaven, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.